This is Jessica Wartner, and welcome to this special four-part teleclass, Breaking the Cycle of Stress and Overwhelm. This is part two of the four-part series, and we are back with the wonderful Pamela Bruner from MakeYourSuccessEasy.com. Welcome, Pamela.
Hi, Jessica. Glad to be back.
So, Pamela, before we jump into the next class, can you remind everyone what their homework was?
Yes, I asked everyone last week to tap on a daily basis, whether you use the tapping routines that we did on the last call or whether you made up your own tapping routines. And I suggested briefly tapping morning and then at night to reduce stress in the morning and then accept what you've done in the evening.
Mm-hmm. And just to remind them, around how much time can they take? Because some people might say, oh, I only tapped for 10 minutes. I didn't do a full hour. You know, what are we talking about here?
10 minutes is just fine.
Perfect.
If you've got something else up, by all means, and you can tap for an hour, do it. But if you can only tap for 10 minutes, then that's great.
Great. So this call is all about the practical steps. So what are the practical steps that we can take to begin to reduce stress and overwhelm?
Well, I'll give you those in a minute, but first I want to preface them by saying that overwhelm is actually caused by having a lot of tasks in front of you with no priority to them. So all of them appear equally important. And if you have all 10 or 20 or 30 things in front of you and they all seem equally important and urgent, then that's the recipe for overwhelm. If one task sticks out as, I have to do this right now, then overwhelm is gone. You know, for example, if your child all of a sudden gets hurt or injured and you need to take them to the emergency room, your feelings of stress may go up, but overwhelm is going to go down because nothing's going to be as important to you in that moment as taking care of your child. Mm. So once you develop those priorities, I believe that that's a big contributor to at least beginning to reduce overwhelm. So some of what I'm going to talk about today is that, but I want people to kind of get that picture and think about what you need to do and see if it doesn't all occur as, or many of the things on the list occur as equally important.
Okay. Okay, great. So let's start with the steps.
Okay. So the first step then is to write down your tasks. And I know this seems incredibly simple, but a lot of people carry around what they need to do in their head. And if you've got it all in your head, you're using up a lot of brain power and a lot of energy to keep track of, oh, and I need to remember to call Martha, and I need to email this person, and I need to go pick up something extra after work. And when all that's in your head, it feels overwhelming because you're trying to keep a calendar and a schedule there. So first thing is just write everything down.
And when you say write it down, can you give us, like, be a little more specific? Because some people, we write things on notes or post-it notes. Is there a system or a method that you recommend when it comes to writing it down?
Really, what I would do is I would like to see all the tasks in one place, whether they're on your computer or in a notebook that you carry around with you, or on a piece of paper that you keep in your pocket. So if you've got your tasks split up on various pieces of paper, then again, you have to remember, well, now wait a minute, what was that on that other piece of paper? Do I have something in the bedroom about what I'm supposed to do? No, all on one piece of paper or all on one in one file on your computer.
Okay, great.
Okay. Now, number two and number three, you can do both, but some people prefer one to the other, and it's okay to do one or the other. So let me talk about both of them. Number two is to calendar or schedule what you need to do. Because one of the things that I find causes stress and overwhelm, if you're looking at a whole series of tasks, you know, I've got to do these 10 things. Well, when are they going to occur? I don't know. You know, sometime in the next 2 or 3 days, I'll sort them all out. I find that when I put them on a calendar, even if something is 3 weeks out, you know what, I'm not going to talk to a gardener about my front lawn for another 3 weeks, but then on Thursday at 3 o'clock, I'm going to do that. Once it's on the calendar, it can be off my to-do list and out of my head because I've got a time and a date and a way for that to occur. So if you're not used to dealing with calendars, and I think most people in today's society, if you either have a job or you have a child, you've probably got a calendar. When you start putting things on your calendar, especially things that don't have to occur at a certain time, it's a huge stress reliever, because most people keep those things, you know, when are you going to call the gardener, or when are you going to make an appointment to get your hair cut? You know, those could occur at any time, but you go ahead and you put them on your calendar at a certain time. It's just hugely relieving.
Mm-hmm. Great. And if someone doesn't use the calendar, you said that there's another alternative method that you recommend?
Yes, and that's prioritizing so everything isn't equally urgent. So if you have a to-do list of 30 tasks, then what are the level one tasks? What are the ones that, by gum, really have to be done in the next 2 days? And then what are the level two tasks? And what are the level three tasks? You know what? If this didn't get done for 3 or 4 weeks, it wouldn't be the end of the world. So you've segmented your list, and now instead of a to-do list of 30 things, you may have a to-do list of 3, 4, 5 things. It's much easier to not get overwhelmed. So some people will approach their lists that way, of as soon as I'm done with, you know, the first item here, I'm moving on to the second item. And some people prefer the calendaring method. And you can use the two together in a way, but you can also just use them separately, as long as you have a method to reduce that overwhelm.
It's so interesting, because in my own life, I use the prioritize method. And before I go to bed, I write out order from one on to see, you know, depending on how many things I have on the list, but one being the most important, everything I have to do the next morning. And as you're talking about this, I began to realize that I do it because it makes me feel better. It helps me fall asleep, because it's not, I don't have those things in my head anymore. So I can imagine that, like I said this in the last class, that this information, doing these steps, really helps people sleep better.
It does, because lack of sleep, I mean, if you're waking up in the middle of the night or you can't fall asleep at night, that's certainly going to add to your stress level. So you really want to get a good night's sleep, whatever that means for you. And one of those things is taking this information out of your head. So, yes, whether you prioritize or calendar, especially if you can do it before the end of the day for the next morning, that's also just a productivity tip. It's not so much stress and overwhelm as it is productivity. But if you sit down at your desk and you have to figure out the next morning what you need to do, you'll probably spend 15 or 30 minutes sharpening pencils and answering email and getting a cup of coffee. And if you sit down with, this is my number one task, this is the first thing I have to accomplish today, it's much more stress relieving, and I think also really more productive.
Definitely. Yes, for sure. So what is the number fourth tip?
Okay, I have two more. And number four is to remove stress triggers from your life by planning. So one of the things that causes stress is that people don't plan things very carefully, and then they end up with emergencies or unforeseen circumstances. So when you're looking at what you need to do, maybe you're saying, you know, I need to get the car fixed. Okay, well, what's the first thing that has to happen? I need to make an appointment with the garage. Okay, so can you call the garage? Oops, I was going to use a new garage, so I have to call my friend who recommended it and get the phone number from them. So the first thing you have to do is actually call your friend. See how, you know, when you start thinking about all the things you have to do, then you can plan them out a little bit better.
Yes.
What's actually involved? Or, you know, I'm going to take the family to the park on Saturday. What needs to be in place for that? Are you going to take a picnic lunch? Are you going to take a game? When will you get the things together so that the family can go easily on Saturday? And just a little bit of time, a few minutes spent in planning activities and events in your day, whether it's the night before, which I suggest, or in the morning, can really reduce stress because you think things through.
Pamela, I'm a little confused about what the difference is from this step and the calendar step.
Great question. What I mean by calendaring or scheduling is actually putting things on your calendar at a certain time. Okay, so, you know, I could write my newsletter for people anytime in the next week, but I'm going to choose to do it, you know, Tuesday afternoon at 2:30. That's setting a calendar. What I mean by reducing stress by planning is, okay, so let's see. In order to write my newsletter, I'm going to need to pull 2 photos. I'm going to need to research a point so I can make a reference, and I'm going to need to come up with a new story. So once I have all those 4 tasks down, then I've done I will have a better idea, for example, of how long my newsletter would take to write or something like that. So that's the planning I'm talking about. Does that help clarify it a little?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense. Great. Oh, then Pamela, why don't we go to this next one? What do you suggest?
Okay. The fifth one's going to seem pretty easy, or maybe for some people really, really challenging. Eliminate the things that rev you up, and caffeine and sugar top the list. And this seems so counterintuitive for people who are stressed and overwhelmed because they said, I can't get up and I can't do what I need to do without my coffee, and I really need to pick me up in the middle of the day. I need, you know, a cookie or a chocolate bar or something like that. Those things tend to give you a false high. Now, I'm not a nutritionist, and so, you know, I can't give out nutritional advice, but what I see, what I hear, what I know from experience is that artificial stimulants leave you feeling more stressed and overwhelmed, and then you crash, and then you feel more stressed and overwhelmed. So, you know, consult with a doctor or medical person if you need to in order to feel safe. You might not want to go off caffeine cold turkey, but slowly withdraw from it. But I know that one of the things that really helped my stress and overwhelm personally was eliminating caffeine so that I had a more even energy level during the day. And these are other things that we can use tapping for, because if you feel like you need the caffeine or you need the sugar or something like that, then those are perfect opportunities to use tapping to remove them from your life.
Right. So if you need that cup of coffee at 4 o'clock because you kind of hit a low there, is that when you should begin to do some tapping? Does the tapping actually energize you or get you to begin moving again?
Well, there are several possibilities. One is that the tapping will actually energize you. Another is that you could substitute something else for your caffeine rush. Like you could get up and take a walk around the block or walk around your office or, you know, something like that. Or go, if you're at home, play with your kids for 15 minutes or something else that would energize you and get you over that hump so that you're not using the artificial stimulant.
Right. And made a good point, because just changing your physiology, just standing up and doing something really makes a difference. I found, at least in my own life.
Right, right. So these are the five things that I've found that can help people in a very practical, structural way with creating a lower level of stress and overwhelm.
Okay. And I have here that the sixth step then after doing these practical steps is to tap. Do you?
Yes.
Obviously. Big surprise. But what I would like to do and I'd like to ask you if you'd be willing to do is, for many, prioritizing their life is something that makes them stressed and overwhelmed. You know, you think about, oh, the time it's going to take to get my life organized. When in reality, once you sit down and do it, it always takes less time usually to write these things in your calendar. But is there a certain tapping sequence that you recommend for people who aren't in the habit of prioritizing and writing things down and who feel a little resistance to it?
Yes, yes, very much so. Because I think you've hit on a really important point there. For some people who are listening to this idea of scheduling and prioritizing is going to feel like just another to-do item, when really what it does is it helps you organize your to-do items. So I think it's valuable, but there is going to be resistance to this. Also, and I know you're familiar, Jessica, with the concept of psychological reversal, secondary gain. A lot of people at some level enjoy the feeling of stress and overwhelm. And I know this can sound very strange, but there's this feeling of, if I'm busy, if I'm stressed, then I must be working as hard as I can, and I must be putting in good work, and I must be worthy of my pay or my place on the earth or something like that. So they see the stress and overwhelm as sort of earning them the right to whatever, the right to their job, the right to their money, the right to their life even. So the idea of removing the stress and overwhelm can, even with these simple tasks, can be a little challenging. So that's something that I'd like to address in the tapping.
It reminds me of a Jerry Seinfeld episode when George is acting all stressed and Jerry is like, George, what's wrong? And he goes, well, when I'm at work, if I act like I'm really angry and stressed, everyone thinks I'm working hard.
Exactly, exactly like that.
So
right,
he's not doing
right.
anything except walking around the office being grumpy, because then it seems like he's worked. So
right. The thing is, often we fool ourselves with this. I know that for myself, this is a change that I've made, going from being busy to actually being productive, because the two things are not the same. But the scheduling and prioritizing and calendaring that helps reduce stress, you can actually be more productive when you are less stressed.
That's a new concept for some people.
Yeah, isn't that important?
Yeah.
I know, I could feel sort of the bells ringing when I said that.
Definitely.
I think we ought to do a little tapping on this. What do you think?
I think we should go for it.
Okay. So tap the karate chop point for me.
Okay.
Even though I'm not sure I want to give up all the stress and overwhelm.
Even though I'm not sure I want to give up all the stress and overwhelm.
Part of me does.
Part of me does.
But part of me wonders.
But part of me wonders.
Will I really be as productive if I give this up?
Will I really be as productive if I give this up?
Even though partly I don't want to give up the stress and overwhelm.
Even though partly I don't want to give up the stress and overwhelm.
I choose to accept my desire to keep it.
I choose to accept my desire to keep it.
And I choose to accept my desire to let it go.
And I choose to accept my desire to let it go.
Even though I'm not sure about giving up stress and overwhelm.
Even though I'm not sure about giving up stress and overwhelm.
Because partly I like being busy.
Because partly I like being busy.
I choose to accept all parts of myself.
I choose to accept all parts of myself.
Tap for me on the eyebrows. I don't know if I can give up stress and overwhelm.
I don't know if I can give up stress and overwhelm.
Outside of the eye. I like being busy.
I like being busy.
Under the eye. If I give up stress and overwhelm, will I be productive?
If I give up stress and overwhelm, will I be productive?
Under the nose. How do I know I'll do my job as well?
How do I know I'll do my job as well?
On the chin. Will I be as worthy as I am now?
Will I be as worthy as I am now?
On the collarbone. Don't you have to be stressed when you do what I do?
Don't you have to be stressed when you do what I do?
Under the arms. I don't think I could do what I do and not be stressed.
I don't think I could do what I do and not be stressed.
Top of the head. But what if there's another way?
But what if there's another way?
Eyebrow. What if I could be more productive and less stressed?
What if I could be more productive and less stressed?
Outside of the eye. I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know if I believe that.
Under the eye. But it is an interesting concept.
But it is an interesting concept.
Under the nose. I'd love to be more productive.
I'd love to be more productive.
On the chin. And if I could be less stressed at the same time, that would be great.
And if I could be less stressed at the same time, that would be great.
On the collarbone. What if I did some of these scheduling ideas?
What if I did some of these scheduling ideas?
Under the arm. What if I could be more productive and less stressed?
What if I could be more productive and less stressed?
Top of the head. I love that idea.
I love that idea.
Eyebrow. I'm open to that idea.
I'm open to that idea.
Outside of the eye. I choose to find a way to be more productive and less stressed.
I choose to find a way to be more productive and less stressed.
Under the eye. I choose to find a way to be more productive and less stressed.
I choose to find a way to be less, more productive and less stressed.
Take a deep breath.
Wonderful. Pamela, what do you recommend to someone who continues to procrastinate when it comes to prioritizing and doing the calendar? What could the procrastination be representing?
Well, I know I've talked about procrastination before, and what it always comes down to is that procrastination is a symptom of a problem. It is never the problem itself. And so when I tell people, procrastination is not a problem, they always look at me funny. that procrastination comes from some stopper about what you're trying to do. And so often I'll find it's a fear of failure or a fear of success even. So if you're holding off prioritizing and you're ending up doing the tasks that are perhaps not as high priority, well, you know, I'm going to check my email and post on social media and something like that instead of really getting to the work tasks that I need to do. That may be a fear that, well, when I complete those work tasks, then somebody will judge them, whether it's a public, a client, a customer, or my boss. Or when I complete my work tasks, what if they like it and they give me a promotion and then I'll just have more work or something like that. Or what if I prioritize things and find that I've got a conflict between some things, between my work and my family or something like that. Although when most people prioritize, it actually helps them because they get really clear about what they want and they're able to make better decisions. But there can be this fear behind it that I don't even want to look at that question. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, yeah. And would it be okay if we do some tapping along those lines?
Sure, sure. One more thing I want to mention to people, because it comes up all the time when I mention calendaring.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the big resistance issues, is that people say, well, I don't know how long something is going to take, so I can't put it on the calendar. Well, if you, why not put it on the calendar? Even if you don't know how long it will take, why not put it on the calendar? Because I find that the more we put things on the calendar, the more accurate we become about how long things take. So I really encourage people not to use that as an excuse. That being said, back to procrastination. So what specific angle, because as you've seen, there are a lot of things we can tap on with procrastination. What specific angle would you like to take about this, Jessica, do you think?
The conflict, one thing that I've been thinking about as you were speaking was, In the film, The Tapping Solution, there's Jody, who was, you don't see this in the film, but she... One of the things that she transformed was she was working on finishing a book for 15 years. She couldn't finish it. After the event, when she dealt with her fear of needing to be perfect and being criticized, she not only wrote one book, but she wrote more than one book in a year. So what took her 15 years completely transformed. I mean, she was a writer. Her profession is writing. She's written for magazines. A lot of her work's been published, but nothing like a book. So what I'd like to do is about the prioritizing the calendar because of this fear that we might succeed. You know, you might succeed and what the bad things that can come with success. Does that sound like it fits, or am I really taking a leap really far? I just find that to be a common connection with procrastination.
You are right on with that. A lot of people suffer from exactly what you're talking about, whether you call it fear of success or fear of failure, fear that I'll accomplish this task and then it'll be judged or criticized or some other negative consequence will come about. So sure, let's tap on that because that might help people to create these systems that will help them get things done with less stress.
Okay.
All right, tap the karate top point for me. Even though I really want to procrastinate this. I just want to put this off for a little while. Because it's too scary to think about getting it done. What will happen when this project is done? I don't know. But I choose to accept myself and my fears. Even though I'm not really sure I want to finish this project. Part of me does. And part of me is holding back. And that's the part that's procrastinating. I choose to accept myself and all my feelings. Even though I just don't want to finish this project. Because I don't know what will happen.
Because I don't know what will happen.
I choose to accept myself and my feelings.
I choose to accept myself and my feelings.
Tap for me on the eyebrow. I don't want to finish this project.
I don't want to finish this project.
Outside of the eye. Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Under the eye. No, I don't.
No, I don't.
Under the nose. Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
On the chin. I've put it off for this long.
I put it off for this long.
Collarbone. And now I'm really afraid of finishing it.
And now I'm really afraid of finishing it.
Under the arm. There's always something else in the way.
There's always something else in the way.
Top of the head. And what would happen if I did finish this project?
And what would happen if I did finish this project?
Eyebrow. I wonder if I'd be judged and criticized.
I wonder if I'd be judged and criticized.
Outside of the eye. Or I wonder if I'd succeed.
Or I wonder if I'd succeed.
Under the eye. And then I'd just get busier.
And then I'll just get busier.
Under the nose. It's safer not to finish it.
It's safer not to finish it.
On the chin. Besides, I have all these good reasons why I can't.
Besides, I have all these good reasons why I can't.
Collarbone. It's just safer not to finish it.
It's just safer not to finish it.
Under the arm. But what would happen if I took some steps to finish it?
But what would happen if I took some steps to finish it?
Top of the head. I'm not sure it's safe to do that.
I'm not sure it's safe to do that.
Eyebrows. Part of me would love to finish this project.
Part of me would love to finish this project.
Outside of the eye. Something negative might happen.
But something negative might happen.
Under the eye. And then I could tap on that.
And then I could tap on that.
Under the nose. But if I never finish the project.
But if I never finish the project.
On the chin. I'll never know what could happen.
I'll never know what could happen.
Collarbone. And I know that with tapping.
And I know that with tapping.
Under the arms. I can handle what comes my way.
I can handle what comes my way.
Top of the head. So maybe I can finish this project.
So maybe I can finish this project.
Eyebrow. Or I can at least take some of these steps.
Or I can at least take some of these steps.
Outside of the eye. To organize this project.
To organize this project.
Under the eye. And the rest of my life.
And the rest of my life.
Under the nose. I choose to move ahead on this project.
I choose to move ahead on this project.
Chin. I choose to do what I need to do to move forward.
I choose to do what I need to do to move forward.
Collarbone. I choose to schedule and prioritize the things in my life.
I choose to schedule and prioritize the things in my life.
Okay, take a deep breath.
I think a lot for
was
a
that
lot
what
of,
you were looking for?
It was exactly what I was looking for. And I'm sure for a lot of people, it is a new concept. It seems like a far-reaching connection, but when you make the connection, you realize how common it is and how all our behaviors and all these feelings are all intertwined. So it's someone might be saying, oh, but Pamela, I thought we were just tapping on me not being able to write something down in my calendar, but it's so much more than that.
Yes, it is. What happens when you become more organized? What's that going to mean in your life? What happens when you become less stressed? What's that going to mean? Is that okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
And so the question, and I know Carol Look uses this question, I just love it. What's the downside of accomplishing this? What's the downside of having this done, of this change? So whether it's scheduling or creating a calendar or prioritizing your tasks or finishing a project that you've been procrastinating on, if you have resistance to it, ask yourself, what's the downside of this being done? And then that's the item to tap on.
Perfect.
And until you do that, you can use these other tapping routines.
Pamela, I feel like I'm asking you a very obvious question, but just to give you the opportunity to reiterate, what should everyone's homework be from now until next week?
Well, gosh, Jessica, I hate saying tap every day. Actually, I would like to add one more thing to that. I'd like to ask that everyone tap every day, morning and night, like we talked about before. It can be very brief, 5 or 10 minutes, on stress and overwhelm. But I'd also like to ask that you write down your tasks, if you're not already, and that you begin the process of calendaring and prioritizing them. And just play with that and see if that doesn't make a difference and reduce the stress and overwhelm in your life.
Mm-hmm. And Pamela, what can we expect to learn next week?
Next week, we're going to look at the concept of free time. Because I find that when people are stressed and overwhelmed, the last thing they want to do is take any free time. And free time is usually filled with guilt. And we definitely want to address that.
We definitely do. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'll speak to you next week, Pamela. Thank you.
Sounds good, Jessica. Till then.